99.5 FM, WBAI New York, and on the internet at WBAI.org. It is 5 o'clock and time for Back of the Book.
The only program that has endorsed hell.
Give a man.
Hello, this is Radio's Uncle Sidney. When I'm out and about, folks comes up to me and says, "You should be ashamed." But when they calms down, they says how much they loves WBAI. That's WBAI New York and WBAI.org. Back in the day, we had commentaries by Malcolm X, Ayn Rand, Abby Hoffman, and William F. Buckley Jr. Imagine them folks in the same room at the same time. Nowadays, we've got Bob Fast, the founder of the feast. Amy Goodman, you know her, we got her. Michio Kaku, the smartest guy in the world. Shows that helps you not to get evicted. Top-of-the-line news and interviews. Insane artists and musicians. All okay, okay. We went nuts for a while back there. But now we're okay. We're like your crackhead cousin that's making good. So we know you're pulling for us. Go, go, run right now to WBAI.org and look around. See where we've gone. You can even subscribe online. Believe me, you'll be glad you did. Stay tuned.
It should be about 5 a.m., and you're listening to All. Last program of the summer, Radio WBAI New York.
No, I know we're not in Kansas.
Good goddamn morning. How the hell are you? This is WBAI New York. The program is Back of the Book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North. Good morning, my dear.
Good morning to you, my dear, and a hearty hello to our dear 19 listeners, wherever they may be.
And we're going to talk about various things in this program, and you can find out a little bit more by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com. When you get there, you'll see a blue navigation frame in the left-hand side of your screen. At the top, it will say latest Back of the Book program links. Click on that, and you'll get to the webpage for tonight's program, for this morning's program, whenever this is. The WBAI website and archives seem to be functioning. This is our 59th pandemic episode of Back of the Book. It's pre-recorded. This program was recorded on Thursday and Friday for airing on Saturday morning. If things have happened between then and when you're hearing this program, we won't be referencing the honest program. A recorded program is not as up-to-date as a live program, but this is what we have to do in these dangerous times. And the big story of the week. We are holding at 115 followers on Twitter. Oh, tremendousness. I don't think we've ever actually held at this number before, so gee whiz, I don't know what that means. Anyway. The next public WBAI local station board meeting is scheduled to be held on Wednesday, October 13th, 2021 at 7 p.m. on Zoom, even though Zoom compromises privacy and security. And speaking of the LSB, the local station board, there's an election for that august body going on right now. And voting has already started, and it ends on October 15th. And if you're a member, you're eligible to vote. And if you haven't gotten a ballot yet, you need to contact the NES, the National Election Supervisor, NES at Pacifica.org, and you need to tell her that you're a member and you need a ballot. Okay. And all I can say, I can't say everything I'd like to say, is start doing your research and figure out who would be best for you to vote for and who would be a goddamn disaster. You got both kinds running. And according to the Johns Hopkins website, COVID-19 cases in the whole world reached 227,445,273 on Friday. Okay, here we go. Okay. And global deaths reached 4,676,491. In America, the number of cases as of Friday was 41,906,703, and the death toll in America was 671,835. So 15,696 people have died of COVID-19 in America since our last program 1 week ago. And of course, we know that these deaths are being undercounted for political reasons in some parts of the country. But still, with that, the death rate in America is up yet again. And this is quite the pattern we're seeing in the past couple of months. I mean, we're back in the bad days. As usual, parts of the country with a lot of unvaccinated people are supplying the victims of most of the deaths. ICU beds in those areas are somewhere between hard and impossible to find. In some states, every ICU bed is taken. And by the time this program airs on Saturday morning, all of those figures we quoted will be higher. I'll say again, this was all mostly preventable. And really, will anything ever be done about the depredations of people like Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida, who's saying no mask mandates, and he's getting some court to agree with him in Florida? So the kids in Florida are getting sick. 13 staff people in 2 weeks died in Florida at schools. Jesus H. Christ. We've also had more instances of people denouncing the vaccines and mask wearing and then dying of COVID-19 this past week. And one person who unfortunately is still with us is Vladimir Putin, but he's isolating because some of his close people have shown up and said, "Oh, look what we have." So he's isolating somewhere. In August, Bob Enyart and his wife said that they had, quote, sworn off taking the Pfizer, Moderna, and Johnson vaccines because, as those firms admit, they tested these three products on the cells of aborted babies, unquote. And the two of them urged, quote, everyone to boycott Pfizer, Moderna, and the Johnson to further increase social tension and put pressure on the child killers, unquote. Enyart was once the spokesperson for American Right to Life. Ah, yeah, that organization. Enyart, who once referred to himself as America's most popular self-proclaimed right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host, unquote, according to the Colorado Independent, was a pastor of the Denver Bible Church. On September 3rd, Denver Bible Church said in a statement shared on Facebook that, quote, our beloved Pastor Bob and his dear wife Cheryl, unquote, had tested positive for COVID and that both were, quote, suffering a severe case, unquote. However, they said that they were improving daily and, quote, we anticipate and pray for a full recovery, unquote. According to the Denver-based news site Westword, Enyart would, quote, gleefully read obituaries, unquote, of AIDS victims while playing Another One Bites the Dust by Queen. This past week, the news came out. Bob Enyart, a self-proclaimed right-wing religious fanatic and long-time talk show host in Denver, Colorado, has died of COVID-19. This according to his podcast and radio co-host Fred Williams. And this guy was 62. Yeah. He is the fourth of these right-wing radio talk show creeps to die in the past 2 or 3 weeks. So I guess they're finding out how to live down to their reputations. Moving right along, Dr. Anthony Fauci on Tuesday warned that COVID-19 could mutate into an even more virulent, quote, monster variant, unquote, if the pandemic is not stamped out with mass vaccination. And he said, quote, there's always a risk of, as you get more circulation of the virus in the community, that you'll get enough accumulation of new mutations to get a variant substantially different than the ones we're seeing now, unquote. Yeah, this is what I've been calling the Omega variant, the one that kills everybody. And yeah, it's unlikely. It is entirely possible. And gee whiz, you know, the more people who get COVID-19, the more mixing up of the virus particles there is, and maybe virus particles mixing up with something else in somebody, and bang, you know, if you get some other virus and it mixes into the same cell, something could come out that's a COVID-19 that's super duper and can't be vaccinated against and just kills everybody. This is a possibility. So that would indeed be the monster variant, or as I call it, the Omega variant. And it is a possibility, which is another important reason why everybody should get vaccinated. And then this past week, they had the Met Gala, where everybody gets dressed up funny on the red carpet and all of that. A lot of rich and famous people show up. And, oh, God, these people crave attention so horribly. What must it be like to want attention that much? Ugh. Anyway, rapper Nicki Minaj wasn't there. She announced that she was not attending this year's Met Gala because organizers mandated all attendees be vaccinated, which, you know, sounds like a bit of rationality in the middle of a lot of silliness. She tweeted, quote, they want you to get vaccinated for the Met. If I get vaccinated, it won't be for the Met. It'll be once I feel I've done enough research. I'm working on that now, unquote. And then she said, quote, my cousin in Trinidad won't get the vaccine because his friend got it and became impotent, unquote. This is a mythical side effect, by the way. This doesn't happen. She continues, his testicles became swollen. His friend was weeks away from getting married. Now the girl called off the wedding. So just pray on it and make sure you're comfortable with your decision, not bullied. Yeah, another great researcher. Is the researcher going to include getting a degree in microbiology or epidemiology or anything like that? Because that would be research that you could do. Again, the other hand is you could do the research of everybody catches this. If they're near it, it's more contagious than chickenpox, which we know that if you're in the same room with people with chickenpox and you don't have chickenpox yet, you get chickenpox. And this is worse than that. It's more infectious. And so you're going to get it unless you do something about it, like wear a mask and especially get vaccinated. Because even if you get a breakthrough case when you're vaccinated, the odds of you dying from it are something like a tiny fraction of a thousandth of a percent. It's just unlikely. Whereas the other way, you've got about 2,000 times more probability it's going to kill you. That's the research you need to do. If that research is too deep for you, then you're too goddamn stupid to do any other research to figure out what to do. Just get the goddamn shot. This kicked up a few things. So she referenced her cousin and Trinidad's friend. Trinidad's leading health official said his department checked out Minaj's claims. Trinidad and Tobago Health Minister Terence Dayalsing said at a press conference that, quote, "One of the reasons we could not respond yesterday in real time to Miss Minaj is that we had to check and make sure that what she was claiming was either true or false," unquote. And then Dialsing added that, quote, "There is absolutely no reported such side effects or adverse event of testicular swellage in Trinidad," unquote. Ah, testicular swellage. Wow, that's quite an interesting phrase right there. Anyway, the late night talk show hosts had a lot of fun with this particular one. And Jimmy Kimmel said on Tuesday night that he'd love to speak with Minaj's cousin's friend who had the testicular swellage. And Nicki Minaj tweeted back, "He's willing to talk for the right price. I'm his manager. Call me Jimmy," unquote. Oh, geez. Oh, well. You know, some people want to make a buck off anything. And you'll all probably have heard of Meghan McCain. She's the daughter of the late Arizona Senator John McCain. And she said, quote, "There's a lot of bat bleep insanity to choose from out there. But for me personally, it's being shamed by conservative charlatans for getting the vaccine and trusting doctors. It's really the tip top of all the bull bleep I can stomach," unquote. So she's PO'd at the right-wing jackasses in the Republican Party who are now trying to do something to her because she was intelligent enough to say, "Oh, I'm doing research. If you get it, you're less likely to die. Okay, I'm going to do that." And her research was done, and she got vaccinated. So there you go. But, you know, they want to have everybody in lockstep with them. And some of them, I bet, are secretly vaccinated. And they just want to play politics because they don't care if people die in order to help them out in their political campaigns. Yeah, so you have all of this going on, and there are all sorts of politicians in the world. Some of them are young ones who really look at how these guys behave and say, "I want to behave like that." Hunter Pepper, a reportedly unvaccinated 19-year-old councilman in Morgan County, Alabama, which we sometimes refer to as Abilama, who opposed mask mandates, has been hospitalized with COVID-19. On Wednesday, he wrote on Facebook, quote, "It feels terrible not to be able to breathe," unquote. "Yes, I actually know about not being able to breathe, and it does feel terrible. It feels awful. It is about one of the worst things you can get. It feels terrible to not be able to breathe." He's learning that at the age of 19. And, you know, other people have learned it and then gone away. And some people have learned it and they've gotten out of the hospital. And a lot of them say, "Oh, boy, I better get vaccinated now." He continues, Hunter Pepper, the 19-year-old politician, quote, "Everything in me wants to tell myself it is something different. But every way I look, it's COVID this, COVID that, and it has terrified me and my family. The media continues to report on COVID-19 and explains, quote, death, unquote, each time they do. That is honestly terrifying to me, but I have faith in the Lord," unquote. Yeah, lots of people who've died of COVID-19 had faith in some kind of a Lord or another, and they died anyway. And if you had had faith in a vaccine, you probably wouldn't be discovering how bad it is to not be able to breathe. And, you know, so he's in the hospital. He's one of the hospitalized people. And who knows what his future is, because after you get COVID-19, if you survive it, that isn't necessarily it. It may not be done with you yet. It may be wrecking your lungs in the long term. It may do damage right away. That's going to just be with you for life. There is also the possibility that an unvaccinated person getting it and suffering through it and coming out of it may still have it, just not eating his lungs away. It may be going to other organs. It may be doing other things in the body. We know that one of the things it will do is it will cause blood clots all over you. And yeah, it gets your lungs preferentially, I guess, maybe because one, the lungs are really vulnerable. And two, that's how it enters. That's how it really gets into you, is those lungs. It hits your lungs and it starts doing bad stuff. And, you know, he's 19. When he's 40, let's assume he gets out of this. When he's 40, is he going to have a crisis because his lungs don't work well anymore? Is he once again going to talk about how terrible it is not to be able to breathe because 20 years after he caught the disease, it's still ravaging his lungs? Maybe. This is a possibility. Again, the stuff we don't know about this virus is, well, it's sort of scary. Continuing. Samantha Wendell, she's 29, was a surgical technician. You know where this is going now. She became skittish, as they put it, about being vaccinated when she listened to coworkers who informed her that the shots can lead to infertility. She got sick a week after her bachelorette party with COVID-19. She spent her August 21st wedding day on a ventilator and will now have her funeral at the church she was supposed to have been married in. Dr. Wen, an emergency physician and public health professor at George Washington University, said, quote, "It is just not true that getting the COVID-19 vaccine is associated with infertility in either males or females," which relates to her particular piece of disinformation she got, and I guess also relates, although not as officially as the guy from Trinidad does, to her Nicki Minaj's thing about, oh, it may, your testicular swellage will get you. Wendell's cousin, Maria Vibandor Hayes, told NBC News, quote, "Misinformation killed her," unquote. And it did. Misinformation can do that to people. And it did it to Ms. Wendell. And, oh boy, those people spreading all this misinformation. They're not as bad as Governor Ron DeSantis, but they're bad enough. There are people dying, people getting killed.
Well, Pickles here. I have something to say about that, too. Yes, it is bad enough when you're garden variety idiot is spreading disinformation. But when it's somebody in a position of authority, like an entertainer with 20 million followers on social media, or a governor of a state, or an actual medical doctor, things are very, very bad when they start spouting this stuff. Case in point, in an article in Friday's online edition of the Washington Post by reporter Hannah Knowles entitled "Doctor Loses License, Fined $10,000 for Allegedly Telling Patients Masks Are Dangerous," Knowles reports that, quote, "The Oregon Medical Board said it has revoked a doctor's license and fined him $10,000 for dishonorable or unprofessional conduct that included falsely telling patients that masks are ineffective and even dangerous to one's health. The board said earlier this month that Steve LaTulipe spurned masks and regularly advised patients, especially children and the elderly, our two most vulnerable groups of people. Two out of three. that wearing them could worsen COPD, a chronic lung disease, or lead to heart attacks, strokes, collapsed lungs, and more. The board also said La Tulipe claimed incorrectly that masks are likely to harm people by causing them to re-inhale carbon dioxide, unquote. This stuff about the carbon dioxide is not true. Billions of mask wearers worldwide are proof of that, but it is still repeated by the great unvaccinated ad nauseum, and also by this failure of a doctor who is telling people wearing a mask can kill them. So this yutz not only exposed his patients to possible harm through criminal advice, medical untruth, and the danger of exposure to COVID during their office visits. He tried to get at least one patient to unmask during their appointment. And La Tulipe has stated he will not get vaccinated. He already had his license to practice medicine suspended last year when he told a bunch of Trump supporters not to wear masks and that nobody working in his clinic wore masks. I guess he was trying to drum up some business. Of course, this same yutz is now suing the medical board officials who were true to their Hippocratic oath and got rid of this creep, an anti-science MD. Unfortunately, he won't be the last one who refuses to do no harm during and beyond this pandemic.
Good grief. Yeah, people like that. That's exceptionally bad.
And you know, when people try and use, going back to what you said earlier, they try and use religion as a reason to say, no, this is not happening and we'll be safe. There are plenty of people who are theists who at the same time support all the science, who've gotten vaccinated. So that cannot be used as an excuse. Even the Catholic Church said, people get vaccinated. And if you want to get people who are like, strong on their anti-abortion stance, that would be it. So this is, I don't know. I just don't know. And a lot of this stuff we've heard come out of family members' mouths.
Yeah, this is difficult stuff when you hear this kind of thing. I don't know. What's he going to come up with next? Masks cause testicular swellage, I guess, maybe? I don't know. But yeah, this is stupid stuff. The anti-masker idiots claiming that wearing a mask does all these terrible things. So all these surgeons for the past 150 years or so who've been wearing masks while they do surgery, they've been hurting themselves doing this? I kind of think they would have figured it out by now. So look at them. What do? They protect themselves and the patient from getting infected. It's, you know, this is basic Louis Pasteur stuff from the 19th century. There are germs. They're moving around. Don't get them in you. Don't put any of yours on somebody else. Masks are very helpful. Oh, boy, oh, boy. Continuing along some of these same lines with people who are not anti-vaxxers and they're not people who are getting, who are trying to be militant against people wearing masks or getting vaccinated. 8-year-old Avella Braun of the South Minneapolis suburb of Bloomington caught COVID-19 in March 2021. Now, she's too young to get vaccinated yet. She's only 8 years old, and she can't get vaccinated. So there she goes, another school kid. Just as the school kids, they're cramming into schools together with each other now. And she developed a low-grade fever, but then she seemed to get over it. And then one day, her mother found her unconscious. The little girl was diagnosed with acute disseminated encephalomyelitis, ADEM, a rare disease in which the body's immune system attacks itself and causes the brain and spinal cord to swell. This disease is triggered by viral infections, and the only virus that Avella tested positive for was SARS-CoV-2, the virus that causes COVID-19. The little girl remains paralyzed in a hospital bed and needs a feeding tube to eat. Avella's pediatrician, Dr. Michael Pitt, said, quote, "We have every reason to believe that COVID was the triggering virus here. We're seeing cases all over the world of ADEM where the only virus they find is COVID," unquote. And part of Avella's skull has been removed because of the swelling of her brain, NBC News reported. And here you have somebody that's totally innocent of all this stuff, and she's got this. And if enough people, you got to think, if enough people had gotten vaccinated when it first came out, maybe she wouldn't have gotten this in the first place. I mean, this is one of the other things that happens. Viruses get into your body and they hijack the reproductive mechanisms, the DNA manipulation mechanisms at the nucleus of your cells. And they make parts of viruses. And these viruses can trigger other of some sort. And all sorts of viruses can trigger other things happening. And that's what's happened here. This innocent 8-year-old is now unconscious and in a hospital bed, and she's on a feeding tube. This is terrible stuff. And another person who has had nothing to do with, being against vaccination and all of this, who has nothing really personally to do with the whole COVID-19 controversy, well, Ray Martin Demonia died just 3 days before his 74th birthday in Meridian, Mississippi. He died on September 1st after he was unable to find a nearby intensive care unit with enough room to accept him. He suffered from a cardiac event on August 23rd at Cullman Regional Medical Center, forcing medical staff to send him to the nearest available bed, which was nearly 200 miles away in Mississippi. Because all of the intensive care unit beds where he was were filled up. And you can guess that these are unvaccinated people. And so this man died of a heart attack. Now, usually when you get a cardiac event, they can do a lot with that these days. And unfortunately, he couldn't get to an intensive care unit. He had to get bounced around, and it took a long time, and he had to travel 200 miles, which when you're having a cardiac problem, traveling an extra 200 miles all by itself is very bad. And so this is another thing that's happening because people just don't want to get vaccinated for various stupid reasons. And right about now, I think it's time for us to do a station break. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, broadcasting from a transmitter and antenna atop 4 Times Square, going through a new studio somewhere in downtown Brooklyn and originating in our living room somewhere else in Brooklyn. The program is back of the book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North. And you can find out more by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com. You can also go to the official website of this radio station at wbai.org. In a good news department, Governor Newsom of California has survived the recall elections there, and he did so quite handily. This is good. I mean, that's really an insane political thing they've got out there. If the governor gets 49.99% of the vote, he's recalled. And if the first of the many people running, and some of them are clearly crazy, gets far fewer votes, that person becomes governor of the most populous state in the union. Slave owners are owed reparations. He said also that he would put a Republican in if Dianne Feinstein's Senate seat became open. Well, we can pretty much figure all of the Republican governors would do that with if a Democratic-held Senate seat were to come up. Oh, well. Anyway, it's good that he did that, and maybe this means that in the midterm elections, things are going to go okay, and the Republicans will not take back either the House or the Senate. We have to hope. Well, now we're coming up to a certain time of the year, by my way of thinking. And right now, we are in very late summer. Yeah, very late summer. We've been in this for almost a month, which means it's about to end. And yeah, summer is going to go away. Ah, the autumnal equinox will occur on this coming Wednesday, September 22nd at 3:21 p.m. Eastern Time. Oh my, you know, summer is my favorite season of the year. And it's coming to an end. We got out once this year, right? For fun?
One glorious afternoon, sitting on a bench at Coney Island, eating our little sandwiches and gazing out at the water. Sans masks.
Yeah, that was the one we got this year, which is an improvement over the none we got last year. But that was our getting out for fun time this entire summer. So we have the autumnal equinox coming up this week. And summer is just my favorite season. It's warm. It's a lot of sunlight. And the daylight, especially the sunset, is nicer for me. Now, you're listening to this being broadcast on September 18th. We're recording it the day before because that's the way we have to do these things. And on September 18th, the sun sets in Brooklyn at 1 minute after 7. And the next day, tomorrow, to those of you who are listening on the 18th, tomorrow, September 19th, Sunday, the sun will set at 6:59 p.m. I really prefer it. I really like it when the sun is setting after 7 o'clock in the evening. I feel better. I don't know why. I just feel better. You know, dawns come up at whenever they come up, and I see them, and sometimes I don't, and all of that. But I'm usually seeing sunsets, and so sunset comes in, and we're about to get the last day of sunset happening after 7 p.m. And then on Wednesday, we go to autumn. And that's when night dark overtakes daylight. Shortly thereafter, the nights are really longer than the days. And autumn, of course, is the season that kills. Autumn is when all the plants are up there and they're dying, and all the insects. Now, in some cases, the insects getting killed off isn't so bad for, you know, a season. The insects go, and a lot of the birds have to fly south because they can't stand it up here in the winter. And if they eat insects, of course, they can't live here in the winter. They got to fly on down to someplace else where it's summertime. So, yes, this stuff is happening here, and it's a little bit bothersome for me. Not quite traumatic, but bothersome for me that we mark this major change in life. And it is a major change to me. The autumnal equinox this Wednesday, we have a little tradition here on Back of the Book where we lament the ending of summer. And we do that with a song, and here's that song now.
Summer's almost gone. Summer's almost gone. Almost gone. Yeah, it's almost gone. Where will we be when the summer's gone? At night we swim. go into our hair. At night we swim the laughing sea. When summer's gone, where will we be? Summer's almost gone.
Ah, there it goes. And yeah, almost gone. Almost gone. And we haven't done mail in a long time. And we're told we have some mail at the radio station, but we can't get to the radio station. We're still locked out of there. And so we're going to just do some email, but it's going to be not recent email, unfortunately, because we've fallen behind on that. And we don't get that much email anymore. We used to get more mail of all sorts in our old time slot, but not since we've gone to 5 o'clock on a Saturday morning. In any event, we're going to bear it all and read some of your mail. First, we have an email from Marcia, and subject, your outro song / music. Arpaul, please email me the name of the song and artist singer that you close each program with, please. I've always liked it a lot, but all memory of identification is lost to me. I'm going to put it in my Kindle history so I can play it a lot. Thanks, and my best to you and Pickles of the North. Okay, well, I sent her the information, even though this is from last year, this email. She did get the information in a timely way, so she has it. But for other people who sometimes do ask about this, our outro music is Baker Street by Jerry Rafferty, and it's from the City to City album. And you can look this up in our archive. Every time we do an archive of this program, which we do, some other producers don't. General Manager says 90% of the producers do not do an archive blurb after their program. We do one. And anyway, our whatever music we play on the air, we put in there because we're supposed to do it and we do it. And it's also how the general manager figures out what's being played on the air because this is a radio station. We have to account for what we've played. And so there you go. There's that. And next, we have another short email from last year. And subject, discovering your show on WB Joseph. And Joseph says, fun so far. Best wishes, Joseph. Well, okay, thank you, Joseph. I'm glad we supplied you with some amount of fun there, and we'll see how it all goes. I hope Joseph is still listening. We don't know how many listeners we have here, but we'll just say we're glad he listened, and we hope he's still listening. If not, oh well, this is life.
And here's an email from Steve from a little while ago. Subject, well, there's no subject, so we'll just continue. Thanks for your excellent radio show. My sympathies on your refrigerator problem. I had the same problem some years back. It is caused by ice, which blocks the channels through which cold air descends from the freezer to the refrigerator below. I fixed the problem with a major defrosting, and the thing has worked perfectly since. YouTube may explain how for your model, but it's basically simple. Get some coolers to hold your food, turn off fridge. You may have to remove a panel inside to expose those channels, and with a hairdryer or hot water, melt that ice. It's worth the effort. Good luck. Well, thank you, Steve. We've
done this.
We've done this a lot.
We actually went in and removed panels twice. And the issue turns out to be, it is ice blocking it. But the big problem is that the defrosting, it's a frost-free refrigerator, but the frost builds up. Apparently, the frost-free part of the refrigerator has died.
Yes.
A true death.
Yes, it has. So for right now, I guess for a while, throughout the pandemic, we've just been defrosting it a lot. And it works for a while, and it works well enough. Of course, right now it's difficult because it's so hot. But at some point, we'll make the super put on his mask and come in and, you know, take the old fridge out and bring us a working fridge. You know.
Yeah, that's been part of the deal is, do we want the maskless super to come charging in here with diseases? And then do we want some probably surly guys who think they don't have to do anything about anything bringing another refrigerator in here, although it could be just the super by himself? I know I'm not going to handle the reefer. My father used to have to handle things like reefers, and they were the worst. Reefer is what truck drivers call a refrigerator when they got to move them because they're heavy. So that's how it does work. We know how this goes, and Pickles is the main defrostifier of our refrigerator, and she's got it down to a science. In the cooler months, it's 3 weeks, and then she defrosts it. And how long is it now when we have our summer heat?
Well, right now it's every Sunday. Every Sunday is a fun day.
Okay.
But it's not like we're doing a whole lot of things right now because, of course, the pandemic goes on and on and on. So not a lot of appointments to get to right now.
But we got to get to some pretty soon.
Yes, but not on the Sunday.
And next we have an email from Neil, who's a regular listener. And this is also kind of an older email, but he writes, subject archives. And he says, the archive of the previous program, which was last year, seems to have vanished. Is there anywhere where you have posted an alternative archive for listening? Thanks. And so I replied to Neil, and I told him that the WBAI.org site was messed up at that time, and that it was better than it had been days earlier when there was nothing there at all. And then, in a follow-up, Neil writes to us again, thanks. FYI, I tweeted at WBAI, and they didn't have an answer, but said they're working on it. As of this afternoon, they are still not working. I'm crossing my fingers that your last program wasn't lost to the ages. And I replied to Neil, and he later let me know that he found back of the book was being listed in the archives under another program's name. And yeah, management was promoting that other program, and since it alternated with us for a short time, we became almost invisible. It was that program, which isn't on the air anymore at all, and, oh yeah, maybe back of the book too. Well, this got fixed some months ago when we went weekly. So we're no longer alternating with another program in the same time slot. We're weekly, which has eliminated that kind of problem. And, oh boy, it's a lot more work to do a weekly program, I can tell you. We were on the air for, oh God, how long was it? 34 years doing a biweekly program. And then we're doing a weekly program, and it all has to be pre-recorded because we're unable to get into the radio station, and so here we are. And, oh well, we'll see how this all works out. And that's been our mail for now. And that's been it for Back of the Book for this week. And we will not be here next week. We are preempted next week for a fundraising special, but we will be back here 2 weeks from now. And coming up next is
Ralph Nader Radio Hour, and then after that, Hour of the Wolf with Jim Freund,
who does all sorts of science fiction stuff. And so, we'll be back here in 2 weeks. Meantime, enjoy the waning days of summer. And above all, remember what that looking at autumn and saying, oh my, Dormouse said.
Light in your head and dead on your feet. Well, another crazy day. You'll drink the night away and forget about everything. This city desert makes you feel so cold. It's got so many people, but it's got no soul. And it's taking you so long to find out you were wrong when you thought it held everything. You used to think that
to WBAI Playhouse Saturday evening, September 18th at 8 p.m. We'll begin with Houses on the Moon. It's a storytelling series dedicated to amplifying unheard voices here in New York. The first episode, Steve, deals with a young man's remedy to deal with his fifth grade tormentor in 1980s Harlem.
Not only is he bigger than us, he's bigger than kids in his own age group.
Steve is followed by LA Theater Works' production of Ken Narasaki's No No Boy. It's based on the novel by John Okada, the story of a Japanese-American citizen out of prison after refusing to fight for the U.S. against Japan in World War II. He returns home and finds no solace in his broken family or the Japanese community that shuns him.
You are Japanese. If you were American, you wouldn't be behind barbed wire with the rest of the Japanese.
That's WBAI Playhouse, Saturday, 8 to 10 p.m., September 18th. Houses on the Moon, Steve, followed by L.A. Theater Works' No No Boy, right here on WBAI New York.
The next WBAI Community Advisory Board meeting will be held on Sunday, September 19th, 2021, at 1 p.m. The meeting will be by teleconference. The call-in number is 623-600-3766. The meeting ID number is 963003. Everyone is welcome to call in and attend the meeting. Also, at the conclusion of the CAB meeting, there will be a WBAI CAB Governance Committee meeting. The contact information is the same as the CAB meeting, the Community Advisory Board. The call-in number is 623-600-3766. The meeting ID is 963003. Everyone is welcome to attend the meeting.
James McIntosh, host of Mindfield, which comes to you every Wednesday at 2 p.m. on WBAI 99.5 FM. Together with my co-host, nurse family therapist, Richardina Theodore, we delve into the explosive issues in mental health. Our mission is to help you know yourself, release your anxieties and your depression, and free your mind. Only on WBAI, the voice of the voiceless, can we voiceless ones be heard. Support the show and WBAI by donating at give2WBAI.org. That's the word give, the number 2, at WBAI.org. Or by calling 212-209-2950. That's 212-209-2950. You can support the show and the station even more by going to give2WBAI.org and giving a monthly donation of as little as $10 per month as a WBAI buddy to your favorite show on WBAI 99.5 FM.
We at war. We at war with terrorism, racism, but most of all, we at war with ourselves.
Yo, what's up, y'all? This is Kanye West, and whenever I need positive, progressive radio, which is so few and far between, I listen to WBAI in New York, 99.5 FM. Holla.